Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 266. I'm Josiah Sapp for the villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, this is going to be a long show because a lot of news happened from last week. So let's hit it like we do. What we hit 100 episodes ago, episode 166, we entitled hashtag Ring of Pain. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain go into the workflow. Play catch up, then hit Bunny Office Story. I'm pretty sure I said something ridiculous because it was normally me still saying ridiculous things. So if you guys are curious, always jump back 100 episodes ago, and that constitutes two years ago. So a lot of these ones are always intriguing to me. We hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Geez, sorry. Then roll some football talk and NFL predictions along with what the fuck news and Jesus shit list. This one was normally off-putting at first to people because the whole what the fuck news is just what the fuck. And then the Jesus shit list, people are like, you know, that sounds terrible. I'm like, yeah, the articles I'm bringing, though, like, these people belong on Jesus shit list. Like, these people, like, this person killed their sibling with a bowling ball. Like, it's like, yeah, they're not going to a good place, homie. Woman allegedly stabs boyfriend to death and tells police he accidentally cut himself. So, stuff like that. Man convicted of killing policeman, then dissolving the policeman's body in acid. Again, Jesus shitless. Then play another game of blank this. Oh god, doctors remove blank. So, I don't know. It sounds like a fun episode to me already. Again, jump back 100 episodes ago. Jump into our catalog at The Comic Syndicate. TheComicSyndicate.podbean.com in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Subscribe. And you know what? Share. We hit Comic Talk, Game of Thrones prequel, still in the works. R-rated Justice League Dark trailer. Marvel's Inhumans coming to IMAX. Ooh, that was rough. Blade of the Immortal trailer. I used to read the old, the old manga titles, which were beautiful. They're black and white, but it was just a great story. We hit, Sheriff of Babylon, possible title change. So I think they had a 12-issue arc for Sheriff of Babylon, which was under the Vertigo banner. And if you guys heard the bumper, Tom King and Mitch Gerrits were working on that, and they're still working on it, so the next part or chapter of that story. Rat Queens then finally hit comic reviews, all new, all different. Wolverine number 14 and All-Star Superman trade paperback. All right, guys, bullet points I'm going to run through real quick. Not a lot of exciting stuff has happened. I went to a Yankee game on Friday, so that was pretty sick. But while that was going on, actually, I'll hit that in a bit. Okay, I was hit up this week, last week probably. Hit up on Instagram. I was contacted and asked if I could be interviewed for another podcast. So I know last week I did mention that Justin from the Hard and Marvel podcast, I was on his show and had a blast with dude. And we chat now, like we text each other. And he's a good cat. I was also hit up on the side after that, and it's really interesting because this one is the Out of the Blank podcast. So sorry. So homeboy, you reached out to me, and this is completely interview based, which is really cool because I listened to a few of his podcasts, and he is based in, Maryland is where it's at, and chatting with someone, first of all. It's a strictly interview podcast, and it's really odd for me to do because I really don't like talking about myself. Like, I'll talk for days, but if I have to talk about myself, that's where I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about myself. Like, I'm not an interesting person at all. If that makes sense. I don't know if any of you guys are that way. But this dope, really fucking dope young gentleman named Robbie is a host. And if you've heard any of my Audio Chronicles podcasts, that's pretty much the vibe of his show. And it's strictly interview based. But I probably listened to about 3 or 4 of his shows before jumping on. And I normally like to know, like, okay, the theme, thematically, how is this going to go? How is it going to roll? And Homeboy was cool. And the guests I heard on those 3 to 4 shows, no one engaged about his life, which I might have thrown him off a little bit. And I'm like, well, I want to pick your brain too, dude. And it turned into more of a conversational piece, which is deep dives and rabbit holes is that. But the Audio Chronicles is strictly, I'm going to interview you. Like, it's still not about me. I'm going to take myself out of it. But I think I threw him off guard, which was good. Because we were chatting and honestly, we were laughing. And I think I got him to laugh. So if I can make someone laugh, it's cool. It lightens the mood. And he made me feel comfortable right off the bat. He didn't buy me wine or anything like that or get me chocolates to seduce me. But it was fun. And to do it with people again and to be on the mic and to get interviewed was fun. And it was a great, again, turn into not an interview. We do talk about me. I do talk about my life and what I do in all 3 jobs, each aspect. And then it was just almost, I don't want to say therapeutic, but it really is. Like, for me, just recording in general is completely therapeutic to me. But just this conversation where he's steering it and he's asking questions about everything. And we're not challenging each other, but we're having fun with this conversation. He let me know when that one's going to drop. I will plug the heck out of that one once it drops. It's probably going to get dropped around the same time when Justin's show comes out. So it looks like I'm completely whoring myself out, which is not something I wanted or intended to happen that way. But everyone works on a different schedule. And dude, many thanks again, Robbie. You were dope. And I'm listening to you. The Out of the Blank podcast, guys. Find it. And it's a good show. And it's just this young cat talking to everyone from every walks of life and talking to them about life and their job and what they do and things like that. I find intriguing that a youngster, Homeboy's 21 years old. He sounded older than me. So for us even on show to be like, you guys got to listen to it. Like, it was fun. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it was fun. He's worth checking out. So Justin, again, much love. Find the Out of the Blank podcast. Very cool. Very fun. Again, so speaking about that podcast, I'm just going to ask you not just follow that podcast. This is going to be a giant commercial for everyone right now. Please follow some good podcasts and friends of the Comic Syndicate podcast, the Audio Chronicles podcast, and the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast. You can always find me on one feed. Like, I'm going to bash you guys soon with so much content in a week. And I'm probably going to work on one more show tonight and just editing. That's going to be interesting, but it's the Batman Beyond interview, by the way. So, please follow these guys. The 2OC crew, Alan and Anton, they're dope. They're very supportive, and just give them love. Follow them, find them. They're 2 best friends. One lives in Orange County, California. The other lives in Orange County, Florida. Their flow is great, and they talk about pop culture, food. They're foodies, big movie guys, and I'm in the summer movie draft with those cats. They're dope. And again, off of last week's show talking about Homeboy, Justin Harden, please follow Justin Harden at Hard in Marvel on Twitter now. Like, he changed his handle, so please find him, and find him on Twitter that way, and at Harden Marvel Podcast, all one word, Hard in Marvel, and on Instagram. He's a cool cat, and we do chat now, which is odd, but it's not odd because it just feels comfortable. We tried to record last minute yesterday, and it didn't work out. Anyone that knows, you know, things happen. I was having fun with him already, and he said he felt bad, and I know he did, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, don't feel bad. Like, it's cool. We can do this anytime. Like, he had to take care of some things, and I completely respect and understand it. But give homeboy some love, because he's got a lot of cool things coming up under his Comic Con radio gig, his Marvelholic stuff. It's just information for him to share. And his season 3 is going to be dropping soon. And I was almost on again last night, which when that one would have dropped, I don't know. But I think he said it's going to drop about, oh my gosh, I'm going to get the dates wrong, September 6th or 7th or 8th, one of those dates. I want to get him on the show next week. So if I can plan that, just let him know. Justin, if you're listening, homie, I'm going to hit you up soon, and I want to introduce you to everyone and get everyone pumped for your show or your season 3, because I had fun, homie. We can chat for hours. All right, that's about it for Twitter love shoutouts. You know what? Let's hit this real quick. Jacob Medina, old homie from way back when that I met, and he is a listener, but he's met us out at conventions. Jacob literally just hit me up before the show started, and he's like, okay, besides Powers and House of X, like, what else should I be reading? And I'm like, dude, I'm about to record right now. I you know what? Let me finish this up, and I want to chat. Because I miss homeboy, and I consider, again, our listeners, our audience, friends. And I listen to the Out of the Blink podcast, because I think I'm not vulnerable, but I open up and say some things a lot of people weren't used to hearing from me, which is, I don't know. It was cool, but you guys are friends, and I consider you guys friends. I'm the friend that you guys hear all the time but never get to see. My own family and my own friends in my life never get to see me too. So I'm just a voice in your ear giving you guys support. And that's all I can give you guys. Julia on Facebook and Twitter, and Gabriel, you guys are always dope for the support, man. So thank you guys. Lupe to Lynn, you guys are rad. So thank you guys. All right. That's about it. Okay, guys, we got a lot of news. We got a lot of comic talk to get through. So last Friday I caught a Yankees game. Yankees were out here in Los Angeles. Nope, not out here. In Orange County, they were out in Los Angeles playing the Dodgers. It was a great game. I had a blast. But because that was D23 weekend, D23 was in my backyard, but yet I was in Los Angeles watching this game. Had a great time, and I didn't miss much, but it was dope because once the news was coming out, and I took the day off from both jobs, so to drive out there and to make sure I'm driving everyone, it's like, well, I got to keep all these guys safe. Like, that's it. It was smooth. It was a fun day. The Yankees smashed up on the Dodgers. Honestly, this is my call, and a lot of people in my life know, like, this is my call for the World Series. It's going to be a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. The American League is a stronger team, any team by far, in my opinion. And National League fans, I get it, but your pitching is way better. I'll give you that. Anyways, had a blast. While this is going down, I got text messages from Justin, which I wasn't able to check up right away. And he's like, dude, Marvel is dropping a lot of news right now. And he's sending me links and pictures of everything that's going down, D23 weekend. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm just clicking on links. And it's like, I can't nerd out too much because I have to drive. And I don't want anyone to read me, you know, like the stuff I should be researching as I'm driving to Los Angeles. So it's like, I'm jazzed for this game. I'm pumped. My head's in one spot. I'll check out the stuff when it needs to happen. So that was that D23 weekend. But I got a little more things to go through. This hit TV and movies. A Hobbs and Shaw sequel may hinge on this weekend's Chinese box office. I'm not a fan of this franchise at all. Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw is still short of breaking even. So the spin-off's sequel potential revolves around the film's performance in China. Again, don't care for those movies, so if for anyone that cares, there you go. This one's really cool. I just thought I'd toss out. Funko announces Tombstone. Pop line. Okay. I love Tombstone, Doc Holliday, and Wyatt Earp, Kurt Russell, and Iceman. I love it, dude. It's so good, and that they're finally made some pop vinyls is sick. I just want that collection because yes, that movie is awesome. And one of my favorite movies, not just Westerns of all time, but I think it's going to be up there for one of my favorite movies. Just the camaraderie in movies and guys and friends and boys that haven't seen each other in forever where they can pick up where they left off yesterday. I love. And then find them for your family too. Hasbro acquires, trip out on this, Death Row Records for $4 billion. Hasbro has acquired Entertainment One, owner of Death Row Records, the label that defined gangster rap in the 90s. The new acquisition actually comes from a $4 billion deal to buy Entertainment One, also known as E1, which is behind popular children's franchises like Peppa Pig, never seen, and PJ Masks, again, never seen. The company also owns a music division that contains the aforementioned rap label, which was created by Suge Knight, the DOC, and Dr. Dre back in 1991, and it features the work of stars like Tupac Shakur and Snoop Dogg. Ooh, a pop culture thing like Hasbro figures? I mean, technically? I don't know. What do they want to do with it? Yeah, just interesting and weird in an odd way. Kind of cool, but insanely weird. I just thought that was cool. The Breaking Bad movie has already been shot, Odenkirk reveals, which Breaking Bad movie confirmed at Netflix also was revealed. The follow-up to the Emmy Award-winning Breaking Bad series has confirmed the name and release date. It's going to be called El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. And it's going to deal with Jesse Pinkman, I guess, and the aftermath of what happened after, if anyone has watched that. This one's going to come out 10-11, so October 11th, 6 days before my birthday. Just thought I'd throw that out. This one's interesting, DC now. Is there any? Actually, no, we don't have a lot of DC. The Flash movie is still absolutely confirmed, says Ezra Miller. Ezra Miller was once uncertain about his future as a Scarlet Speedster, but he recently said the Flash film is absolutely confirmed. Christina Hudson is reportedly in talks to write a new version of the Flash's script. It's had like 10 rewrites right now, 10 directors. Hudson also penned the scripts for 2018's Bumblebee and the upcoming Birds of Prey film. Bumblebee was actually surprisingly a really good movie, but I'm a huge Transformers fan anyways. So that was, if she can get it done, let her rock it. All right, and this is what is going to make this show run longer. I thought it was going to be the reviews, but honestly, this is what it is. D23, we're going to hit right now. D23, everything that happened, dude. So Kit Harington's Eternals character was revealed. I'm not a fan of Game of Thrones. I honestly didn't watch. I only saw the last episode, and it was more for moral support. And I'd never seen any, and I didn't like it, so... Although I was disappointed just from watching one show, I know every true fan was extremely disappointed, but Homeboy is apparently going to play the Black Knight, Dane Whitman. So I'm like, I heard the name, I'm like, is that, I'm like, and this was again, Yankees Day Friday. So I'm like, oh, I don't want to get too involved in any of these things right now, because my nerd needs to go to the baseball game right now. So this is all the news that came out, guys. Tom Holland greeted at T23 by Save Spider-Man chants. Now, so many stories about this one. Spider-Man Far From Home writers are back for the Tom Holland-led third movie. The director is off completely. So Tom Watts is completely off. The writers, though, are still on board. After whatever Sony decides to do now is going to be interesting. He's out, guys. Like, he's out. Just look at it that way. Spider-Man Tom Holland is no longer working. If there's an entertainment weekly or article where they interview him and Feige, and they both kind of say, like, yeah, it's pretty much done, which is sad, and I just hope Sony can... Or I hope they learned something and can actually make a good movie. Because Into the Spider-Verse was fantastic, but Venom was extremely terrible. So try to find that even ground and make this a good movie. Make it ground. I don't know. Next one is going to be, these ones were announced and everyone's jazzed about certain ones. And people are like, I don't know who that is. First one is going to be, we're going to get a Moon Knight. My Disney Plus show, and I'm stoked for that. Ms. Marvel is a newer mutant that was, inhuman that was introduced about within the past 5 years or so, possibly 6 years. So she's fresh. And this one I'm really stoked about is the She-Hulk show. And they're all on Disney Plus. On top of everything else they have going on, I'm completely down with that. They dropped when Black Panther 2 is going to get released, and that's going to be May 6th, 2022. They still probably have to flip-flop a lot of things and change scripts and change everything up because of Marvel MCU losing Spider-Man. So we're going to see, I don't know, it's going to be interesting how these shows work, and it's supposed to be wrapped up in the whole Marvel MCU, like it's supposed to finally wrap around and mention each other, unlike the Netflix shows, although they didn't mention those incidences that did happen. I'm curious. They announced that the Muppets will receive a new short form comedy show. Star Wars, The Clone Wars Season 7 gets a release window. I was a huge fan of that when that came out. It's really good to catch Anakin, a young Anakin. Padawan Anakin and Obi-Wan Kenobi, so that's dope. Animated, but it's worth deep diving, guys. If they're going to give us a seventh season, please. Speaking of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Star Wars, Ewan McGregor to return as Obi-Wan Kenobi as a show on Disney Plus. You know what? Give me more of this. They dropped the Mandalorian trailer as well, and that looks dope. Jon Favreau is behind that, but I'm just stoked about all these things. They also teased something happened that the fans of D23 for this panel saw some footage. And there were leaks like, oh my gosh, this and this and this happened. And once they dropped the second trailer for The Rise of Skywalker, oh my gosh, I'm in. Like, I love Star Wars anyways, but give me that and I'm completely down. I'm stoked. Disney Plus, I think we all have to. Like, it sounds terrible to say, but we all have to. How can you not, right? Like, if they're going to offer you the whole catalog, Disney catalog, in one shot, and for your kids, these are movies we all grew up with. And to have them on just like, there's no Disney vault. Finally, I can finally access these. I really can't see how many people could be out on that. All right, guys, let's hit some comic reviews. I had three initially. Actually, I have a bunch banked up of just reviews, depending on how long or short of a week I've had, both jobs and finding time to write and bring these things to you. I actually have a bunch of things on the back burner that I'm still working on, but I have a bunch of reviews on the go just in case. So instead of reviewing three, I'm just going to go over two comics for you guys. I try to let you guys sit on it enough so it's not spoiling anything if you guys listen and read to the same things that I'm reading as well. This is going to be Powers of X, number 2. Jonathan Hickman and R.B. Silva is the artist. Marte Gracia is the inker. Starts off, there is a chasm between you and I, Charles. A gap that can't be crossed. With each passing day, I fear it never will be. Magneto. Starts off X-Men Year 1. On Island M, which is located in the Bermuda Triangle. So Charles and Moira McTaggart going to visit Eric. And this is still, again, X-Men Year 1. So they have their issues, but now this interaction happens, which is a great and quick conversation. But both ideals and methodologies, I guess, were Charles admits, and he's like, what do you guys want? And Charles is like, I have something to show you. And Charles admits, though, that both dreams are wrong. And there's a great Magneto line, but also some very sick and beautiful panels by R.B. Silva is killing it in this. And pages of just Magneto looking like Magneto, like a badass. Where he now asks Moira a question. Like, what do you think you know? And she answers, well, I may be the only person on this planet who truly understands what ails you both. But I have to warn you, my truth is profound and life-changing. It's primal, and I wonder if you are capable of bearing the weight of it. It all comes down to the one thing. to one thing, Magneto, in this world, who determines who is truly God? And I'm sorry, good is good, and truly evil. And Magneto just simply answers, I do. I've been talking about Magneto a lot recently on several podcasts. So Justin Harden Marvel podcast, and even I bring up some weird things where the conversations go all over the place. And it's those ideals where he's a bad man, but I love villains because if a bad person can be redeemed, is kind of a beautiful story to me. That's probably why I love Venom so much. Like these characters that are just extremely fucked up and you want to root for them and you feel bad for rooting for them. But at the same time, honestly, Killmonger from Black Panther, homie wasn't wrong. He was just a little bit of an extremist. Anyways, so just beautiful art in this. And although we see he's hesitant as about what they're about to show him, they finally show him, and they're like, we need you to take your helmet off. And he's like, I swear, if this is a trick, it's like, this isn't a trick, old friend. And the way the conversation they have, my friend. Like, they love each other because they're best friends, and they hate each other because their ideals, their ideologies are so different and so extreme, and radically extreme, where they now show Magneto, this is what happens. And just that page is powerful and extreme and just terrible for Magneto as he's seeing everything, all the possible futures, everything that does happen up to this point and what's going to happen if you continue this route. And Magneto answers, he's kind of fucked up by this point. He's like, why would you show me that? The great failures, all the great falls. Charles answers, because her truth is profound and life-changing. And a part we always lose. We believe it's only together that you and I, that all our people can survive. Join us, Eric. Join me. As Magneto's response is ballsy, just because it's Magneto, but it's just a dope scene. And the way he answers is like, just know that if shit hits the fan, I'm not going to hesitate to lash out and protect our people. And Charles answers like, I'm completely cool with that. Like, let me do my part, you can do your part. And if things ever get that bad, I trust you're going to make the right decision. It's a weird, fucked up, like, okay, you guys are working together now. So just interesting, again, ideologies. It jumps now to X-Men Year 10 Krakoa as it jumps to Scott and Henry Bees, where Hank explains to Scott what's coming. And it's mother mode. As we get to see what's in this room now. Like, Charles, it's Magneto, it's Cyclops, it's Beast. And they're all in this room. Magneto, they call themselves Orcus. A collection of human scientists who are normally ideologically opposed to one another. But in mutantdom, see a threat so great that they are bound together to stop us. Where they all now try to strategize and figure out this plan. And what they know and what they fear now, like Nimrod becoming operational. And Nimrod, honestly, is like AI that I've spoken about. You know, if you guys have listened to the show, if this is your first time listening, you put it on pause, put the podcast on pause and try to find these. If you guys want a link or links, I can send them to you guys. Like I work a lot, so I don't have a lot of time to read or write, but I get a lot done somehow. But yeah, just ask for those. Nimrod becoming operational. Where now Scott asks a question and then is ready to go to work. And it's like, all right, so you're telling me he's going to become operational. And at that point, we're fucked. So you're telling me this mission has to happen and we can't screw this up. Yeah. And Magneto and Professor X are like, yeah, that's the plan. He's like, all right, cool. I can get the job done. And it's cool. Like, that's the Cyclops I miss. So, yeah, Jonathan Hickman. I love the hell out of it. His writing. So, very dope. All right. So, anyways, now it jumps now to X-Men Year 100. We see Wolverine, an old Wolverine, talking to his boss about the prior task. So, now hear that, though. So, he's talking to his boss. And jumping now to Nimrod and the human element now behind it. His boss from 100 years from now is still our Wolverine. is Apocalypse, and he has his new Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, but now working for Professor X's ideal and Magneto's ideals, and these three people that should not be interacted. This is a future jump now. And if it sounds like I'm jumping pages and panels, or like I'm talking about several different stories, this is the way Jonathan Hickman is writing it. He's writing it very user-friendly, but the material is so dense, and it's just so the material is there, and it's kind of easy to follow everything, especially the timelines and the way he shows graphics and the way R.B. Silva draws certain things. You guys can catch up. It now jumps to X-Men Year 1000. Where this it's great to see, but the librarian I spoke about last time I reviewed, which is maybe like 2-3 weeks ago, what things now look like, where the people are just looking for this quote unquote ascension now, where we get another twist that the Phalanx are behind this thing. It's an old techno organic. I know it sounds crazy, guys. Techno-organic virus world, AI that almost like Terminator-ish, but look at Cable's arm, and that's the techno-organic virus. And I know it sounds weird, but again, it trust me, guys. And it's infected and intercepted everything and took all the information and knowledge from these people that are trying to find this quote-unquote ascension. By this point, all the X-Men, for the most part, have been wiped out. And then this one ends. You must see by now, there is no you and I. There is only us. We are together, or we are nothing, Professor X. As we see the antagonist of, okay, well, this is an interesting twist. Last review is going to be hopefully quick, guys. No more than 20 minutes, hopefully 15. Jonathan Hickman, writer, R.B. Silva is the artist. Marte Gracia, again, is the inker. Now, this is the only way Jonathan Hickman has been writing it. Two concurrent books dropping each week. And I'm dropping number one, House of X, Powers X, the next week. And House of X 2, Powers of X 2. This is where the flip-flop happens, where... Trip out on that. If you're that good of a writer to have that, where it's like, we're going to flip-flop now. And these stories are going to be two self-contained stories. And it was really dope to get this twist now. And this one is called This Is What You Do. Powers of X, number 3. I am immortal, and I have no end. Apocalypse. X-Men, Year 1000. Starts off with some really... fucked up and twisted scenes and panels and pages of this future race of humans. Now, listen to this. The tech now finding this quote-unquote ascension, which is to now dismantle or affect the last of the human race with a bit of this techno-organic virus that I did mention. Where now the really fucked up scene comes into play, and there's a scene of this baby. And it sounds terrible, guys. And it really, in a weird way, it's not harsh, but it's really fucked up to see. As this leader of the human race goes off with this odd, almost religious propaganda, but it is propaganda regardless. So there's an explosion, and we see the future X-Men. And do we call them future X-Men? They're still X-Men. Finally arrive on the scene. And they come up with a plan to go on this suicide mission. And it's like, well, there is only a few of us living. And the last issue of the last read, Powers of X number 2, is pretty much, we have to go to work. We're not going to make it out. And that's the realization. And then this one comes into play and they're ready to go to work. And a lot of these cats are ready to die. Which sucks. So it's Zorn, Rasputin, Cardinal, Magneto in green. And they're the first ones to arrive and start attacking. And where this is going down with this baby, infecting this baby with this techno-organic virus. As the next page is where we see the Four Horsemen and the surviving soul mutants. So, and the way, again, Jonathan Hickman breaks down what it is, the surviving soul mutants or Insomniac. So that's Apocalypse. Wolverine is War. James Howlett is his. He's a mutant. The Pureblood is Death. Is Zorn. And then a mutant Pureblood is Pestilence. So it's part a bunch of different mutants and just how these odd mixture of characters. If mutants were bad enough, they've been twisted so now with these genetic experiments where even though as a genetic experiment you're a mutant, they're still working together once they realize like, this is humanity. We're all the same thing. We shouldn't be doing this to each other. It is really weird to catch and beautiful the way it's just written. As it goes now into the second gen, third gen of Hounds or the defects, again, what I've been saying, they know what they were created for was wrong. As we see this team now on their suicide mission, and this is old classic X-Men, like from the 90s, dude, doing what the X-Men do and with way fewer numbers now, but just trying to help save and liberate the humans. The Homo sapiens, as we get the next pages and panels and the dialogue of Nimrod. Now, and this is the Sentinel, head fucking crazy Sentinel. It's a pity, the tragedy of it. And it's a machine, but it's like it's a weird Terminator thing. It's a wonder I can sleep at night. And his right hand, chick, woman, mutant, defect. We don't sleep at all, Nimrod. In fact, that's what the mutants think is wrong with us, that we do not dream. Nimrod answers, and what good are dreams? That dream of theirs is almost as extinct as they are. And it's an odd reaction, almost as if she now goes to look into the Nimrod, is up to his own things. Like, she's like, either, like, I don't believe your ideals, but you're going to kill me, or now she's just cautious about what he's going to do next. As we see exactly what happens, their version of God are Sentinels, and this is the human race bringing their army now. So the human race looks at Sentinels like, these are our gods now. Like, they can destroy the mutants, something where they can annihilate you. It's fucked up to see, and it's the X-Men, so of course it's going to be fucked up. So now we see the symbiote. The Famine is a Krakoa cipher, and it's a symbiote. And we see Wolverine and Apocalypse again, the Four Horsemen, doing their part now. So we get these panels and pages of these. And tap in to the network and see what Nimrod, when Nimrod exactly went online. So if this is year 1000, when did this happen? And Nimrod finally catches the X-Men's alternate agenda. Because the right-hand woman says, like, the X-Men are here. I don't care. Just kill them. And it's like, but no, they're up to something. No, I don't care. Just kill them. So now, as Nimrod shows up, once he realizes, like, oh, shit. It's not just to save the human race. What are they really after? And this is the suicide mission team. And as soon as Nimrod shows up, he starts focusing on Apocalypse, which is honestly the number one threat. Number two would easily have to be Wolverine. So now as this X-Crew gets what they need, Wolverine catches a scent and knows they're screwed because something is off. He's like, damn it, I think. As he's the first one to get blasted hard, trying to warn his team by Nimrod. They all knew what they were in for, though, as it jumps back again to the half-breeds, the next gens, the defaults, third bred, the fourth breeds. Now, as it's just this crew versus an army of Sentinels. As Nimrod's right hand being, again, is also leading the Sentinels. So two battle fronts, Nimrod and his five Nimrods are fighting the suicide team. When it gets to the point where you have nothing to lose and your back is against the wall, both teams are going through this. Like, when you're tired, when you're beat, when you're hurt, when you know you're done, what do you guys do? Like, seriously, what do you guys? I'm a weird guy. It hurts. It sucks. It hurts getting up sometimes, but sometimes you got to keep going. You got to keep fighting. So that's what the X-Men do. Rasputin now warns them on the battlefront where the Sentinels are and tells them, you don't want to see what this black hole looks like. Let's find out. And it's jumping back again to the other side, the Suicide Team. Action's going on both sides, and the sequences are really dope and really beautiful to see. So the Suicide Team, Apocalypse, here, take this as these Nimrod army, small army, but still Nimrod is powerful, as he's now. And we get a weird take from Apocalypse. He's like, here, take this. Wolverine's like, no, you go, I'll stay. And Apocalypse answers, I've never really seen like this, telling Wolverine, like, and then it's just cool to see these interaction between these two characters. And he's telling Wolverine, just get out of here. I got this. If you could see what you look like, and he wants Wolverine to get out, because once he gets blasted, he gets singed. And again, we don't see this ever from Apocalypse. Like, granted, it's your fourth horseman or one of your horsemen, but to get this from Apocalypse, like, holy shit, you're fucked up. Get out of here. I got this under control. And Wolverine's still like, no, I'm here to do my job. Like, it's beautiful. And that's when Apocalypse says, if you could see what you look like, you would know how foolish that sounds. Wolverine's like, go, I'll be right behind you. Apocalypse, that's what he says. And Apocalypse now stays to go to work, fighting a bunch of these Nimrod army. Small army, but enough to just go to town on fucking Apocalypse and kick his ass and fuck him up. And even now, he doesn't have a chance to fight back. Even when he does, it's not enough. And the last Wolverine panels are even tough to catch. Like, we see him fucked up and an old man, and the way this one has aged, and to see the old classic Wolverine brown outfit from the 80s is gorgeous to see, or rough, and should forever end, let me die in battle, surrounded by my fallen enemies and with blood on my sword. And it's Apocalypse, and that's pretty much what he's fighting. And as he's going down, Wolverine, and if you guys have been following more, McTaggart has these lives to live. And Apocalypse was there to steal this thing that can bring someone back to life. That apparently Magneto, that Apocalypse now has been protecting, which is some sort of mother being now. And where he came up with a drug and test, not just test, but like this drug to keep more McTaggart's memories and not alter her memories, but to keep those memories in sync and intact, where it's like, we're always going to end up at this point. You need to figure out what's going on. And as it, again, was a suicide mission initially, the things these few X-Men, these handful of X-Men had to do to get this information just to wake up more McTaggart one more time in this Apocalypse, in Sabanur cocoon. And she walks out and he punctures her, you know, shoots it in her, and she comes alive. And the conversation they have, he's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, no, like, everything is going the way, like, we're one step closer now. Like, you guys are going to die right now, but things are going to start all over. And we can still fix these things. As Wolverine pops his claws. And it's like, no, you did good. I have all the memories that happened. Just end it right now. And that last scene, I posted up. And it's beautiful. And that's what that scene is. It's an almost Apocalypse, more McTaggart, living all these lives with everyone, trying to get everyone together, working together as mutants. And even mutants don't get along. And to see villains working with you know, the heroes is an interesting take. Jonathan Hickman, I love his writing. East of West deals with four horsemen of Apocalypse anyways. And there, his version of death there falls in love. And that's a beautiful, twisted, dystopian future that is gorgeous. So find that too, guys. But yeah, she's like, no, this is what you do. Like, go to work. And that last page is that picture I posted on Facebook, on Twitter, I think, and Instagram. It was just beautiful to me. I didn't want to spoil anything. That's why I let things sit out in the world before I jump in and totally fuck up, like, oh shit, this is something I should be reading. So yeah, Jacob, homie, I don't have anything for you this week besides Powers and House of X, but I'm going to hit you up after this, and yeah, dude, we'll chat, because I miss you guys. I miss all you guys. I don't get to see any of you guys, chat with you guys enough, but you guys are dope, rad, awesome. So subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Share the podcast more. And you know what, guys, if you guys can, share, but follow the 2OC boys, Alan and Anton. Follow Justin Harden at Harden Marvel Podcast on Twitter. And on top of that, if you guys can do me a favor and just please leave a review now. I don't know. I never like asking for anything. You know what? Fuck it. You guys do what you want. If you guys like the show, leave a review. If you guys don't like the show, leave a review. You know what? I got to go through those eventually. And I don't know what those are looking like now. Worst show ever. But yeah, guys, I work a lot and I had to bust this one out. All right. Share the podcast. I love you guys. Peace out.